This is a Hog Sports Network podcast.
And welcome back to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. I'm Chip Souza, joined by Christina Long today, the managing editor of Hogs Illustrated. Christina, how's your summer going?
It's been great. I cannot believe it's July already. I feel like it's flown by. I've kind of done that thing where I've packed all my free time with stuff, and so it's making it go by faster than I would have wanted it to, it's been nice.
The heat has been, it's been hot, so you're trying to stay cool and spending any time at the lake or the pool or anything like that?
I will be at the lake actually in a couple weeks, just some time with my family on Beaver Lake, which will be super nice.
Yeah.
But other than that, just staying in mostly. Trying to get some running in, but going really early to try and beat some heat for sure.
Wow. Well, we got back from Texas last weekend. I went down to Carrollton, Texas to the Dietrich Wise big man camp, and we think it's hot here. I think it was 98 the day that I was there, those 85 guys that were going through the camp, and these are big guys. It's a big guy camp, so they're sweating and pouring throwing the Gatorades down or whatever, and then my respect for them went up a whole lot to be out in that heat like that.
Well, and that turf adds like 10 degrees, so yeah. I'm not ready for when fall camp starts in August and we're sweating out there.
Well, maybe we'll get a little bit of cool down from the tropical depression that's going on in the Gulf now. Maybe we'll get some side benefit of that, maybe.
Matt Jones would know a little bit more about that than I would. He's the weather guy.
He's the weather guy. Now, last week I went to the rodeo in Springdale.
Yeah.
And, I was thinking, God, it's going to be so hot. You're back there, with all the bulls and the horses or whatever. But it rained a little bit that day, and it was, the weather was awesome. I'm like, okay, this is the one night I'm coming out here, man. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Seriously.
All right. So we're going to talk a few sports and different things today, Christina and I. But number one, I think, on our list is Arkansas is going to be well represented in the Olympics in Paris here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, nearly two dozen athletes across a lot of different sports, actually. I mean, track and field is the obvious one, and they have the most. But, I mean, there's a swimmer, there's three golfers, two women and a man. You have a gymnast for the first time, future Razorback in Jocelyn Robertson. I think it's Robertson. It might be Roberson. And she'll be here in the fall for her first season as a Razorback. But first, she's going to Paris as an alternate. So
what a nice thing that is for Jordan Weber to have. Oh, by the way, if you come here, we have an Olympian on our team.
Exactly. Yeah. And Jordan, as a former Olympian herself, that's been such a draw in recruiting. And that's a huge reason why Jocelyn says she came here, why she chose Arkansas was she had looked up to Jordan Weber as a kid and, wanted to be just like her as a young gymnast. And now she's getting to do that.
I was watching some of the Olympic trials. I think it was Monday night, or it might have been Sunday night. Simone Biles, I've never in my life seen anyone that can get as high as she can. I mean, that's just incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing. Anthony was asking me the other day, our Anthony Christensen, he was asking, do you think if Simone Biles could dunk?
I was going to say that.
Because she's short, but she's got the vertical. I mean, I think she could do it. At first I said no, but actually he convinced me. I think she could.
I think she could too. I mean, when I watched to see how high, it looked to me like she's so high. She's like as high as the divers on the high dive board. I mean, she looks like she's in the air. To me, that would scare me to death to be that high up off the ground.
So insane, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I would get like, okay, how did I get up here? Yeah. How do I get back down? Well, okay, I'm going to get back down, but probably not the
right. I mean, I never learned how to do a cartwheel.
I could barely do a flip from the ground over. So Simone Biles, she is awesome.
Yeah.
And she will lead our contingent there in Paris. The golfers that you mentioned, two of them will represent Mexico, Gabby Lopez, Maria Fossey. Those were great, great golfers here for Coach Shauna Taylor at Arkansas. And, she just continues to build with that international flavor in her golf program.
Yeah, it's been amazing. I mean, they are two tremendous ambassadors for golf in Mexico and then also for Arkansas. I mean, they have had some international stars come through that program. And another one we've talked about a lot from Colombia, remind me her
Marin.
Name. Yeah, yeah.
Jose Marie Marin.
Yeah, so she's been amazing. I don't know that she's going to the Olympics this year. There is a man from a former Razorback who will represent Columbia in golf. So that's pretty exciting that they've been able to make inroads there.
Well, she's just 17, so she's...
Right, she's probably... Oh, yeah, I forgot she's a year young, yeah.
Yeah, she's got
she's
a lot
young,
of time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's... it's funny, when I did the story on her for Hogs Illustrated, she still did not have her driver's license to drive yet. So I need to get back with our guest and ask her if she's ever taken it and she's passed it or whatever. I guess if I see her on the road, I could... Maybe just kind of a little side eye there.
Yeah, I mean, she's going to have an amazing career at Arkansas and then as a professional. Oh, yeah, I mean, she is outstanding at such a young age.
She is. Well, so of the contingent of athletes that we have going, of course, like you mentioned, track and field is going to be the most represented because we are track you is what we are. Anybody that you think maybe has a chance to medal?
Yeah, I mean, there's some former athletes that are making, this is not their first Olympics. I think Kerry McLeod, who will be there for Jamaica, he's a jumper, and I think he has a chance. Wayne Pinnock, another jumper there. He's a current, I guess he just turned professional a few days ago. He announced that he'll go pro, but he competed for Arkansas all this track season.
Yeah.
He's a champion in jumps, so he has a good chance, I would say. Amber Anning won at the Trials for Great Britain in the 400, I believe. And so I think she is definitely somebody to watch. I mean, those sprint events are so competitive at the Olympics, and so it's so hard to medal. But, I mean, I think she'll be someone to watch for sure.
It is. And in track and field, it's also if it's your day, I mean, if it's your day and the stars kind of align, you can win that gold. But if it's not your day, you know, even the favorites sometimes falter. You know, you get one shot at it. So that's what makes track and field and the Olympics so great. So we got, like I said, a good contingent of Olympic athletes going into Paris. I think starts like July 25th, somewhere in there.
Yeah, late July. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so that'll be all over NBC and whoever else carries it and all the NBC family of networks will have. So that'll be great. So we got that going on. We've got, seems like a new baseball player is signing every day with the Hogs. They've got, I think, 11 players they have signed out of the portal. Is that number right, or have they added one today?
Something like that. They haven't added one today that I've seen. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, there's been so many. And I think what's really impressive is the level of pitching that they consistently get out of the transfer portal. Yeah. I mean, the guy they just got yesterday from East Carolina, right. I mean, he was the number one available pitcher in the transfer portal, Zach Root. And, you know, he's expected to be a top left-handed pitching prospect in the draft next year.
Yeah.
And so for them to consistently get quality like that out of the portal, they've done it in years past. Coach Matt Hobbs is really doing a tremendous job in recruiting the transfer portal. And so I think that'll definitely be something to watch. I'll be a little bit more concerned with the hitting prospects they get out of the portal. I mean, they've gotten several guys, but some of them are coming up, you know, they're coming up from lower ranks, which, I mean, in baseball, that's very common. You know, you see guys, you saw Vahiva Aloy come up from Sacramento State.
Right.
His brother's coming from BYU.
Can you pronounce his first name? I can't.
I don't.
Cujillo?
That would be my guess. I have not heard, but I mean, Vahiva.
I'm sorry if I butchered that.
But Vahiva, nobody knew about, you know, how to pronounce Vahiva's name.
I just call him 17 or 12. Or, yeah,
yes. So his brother's coming from BYU. You know, you've got a guy from Rhode Island. You've got, you know, a guy from, you've got some JUCO guys. You have Lincoln Memorial University. You have an outfielder from there. So
I don't even know where that is.
I know.
Is that Lincoln, Nebraska?
Tennessee,
or?
Apparently.
Wow, okay.
So, you know, Florida Gulf Coast. You've got these players coming up from lower levels.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Arkansas, they develop guys. So it'll just be interesting to see, because the hitting piece was such a point of emphasis this year and it was such a point of concern, I would say, you know.
Because they just didn't produce at the plate. Let's just call it what it is.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see how they are able to develop these guys, who they are able to get back. You know, there's some talk that maybe Kendall Diggs will come back, things like that. How they can work with what they're bringing back, because they are losing a lot of the lineup. I mean, a lot.
Yeah.
And so how they develop some of these transfers coming in, how they develop, you know, a returner like Nolan Souza, assuming he's back. You know, he won't be in the draft. But
He hasn't
in the portal yet. I wouldn't expect him to anyway. But obviously, you never know. I would not expect him to. But a guy like Nolan Souza, I mean, he showed so much potential as a freshman, just a freshman. And, you know, how you continue to develop guys like him in your lineup will be huge.
Well, and, you know, and guys like him that need to stay in one spot. Seemed like he played a little bit of everywhere.
Right.
You know, it would be nice if he had a spot and stayed there, I think. And that gives you kind of maybe an opportunity to work through your down, you know, your slumps or whatever. You know, you got to be able to get through that. So, but I think that's right. 11 players out of the transfer portal. One thing Arkansas needed to do, and you know, Van Horn, you know, talked about this, is they got to get more athletic. They didn't have enough athletic guys that could, you know, that could manufacture ways to get themselves on base other than, you know, hitting the long ball. And they just got to do a better job at that.
Right. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what they do in that department, because I do think, I mean, there are teams that have been very successful that have emphasized home run hitting.
Yeah.
And have done great with that. So, I mean, how much they change that approach actually will be interesting to see. You know, he said that he talked a lot about it. He had a lot of detailed thoughts about it right after the season ended.
Yeah.
How they actually move forward, if they actually change that plan, how effective it is, will be something interesting to watch next year. Because, I mean, it's not that – I mean, teams have had tons of success, as, like I said, emphasizing home run hitting. Arkansas, you know, in 21, they had a tremendously powerful offense. I think it was 21. And, you know, they didn't make it as far as they wanted to. So, you know, we'll see what happens. It's how much that philosophy actually changes will definitely be something to track.
And those of you who follow college baseball, and specifically the SEC, tremendous uproar last week after the national championship. Tennessee won the national championship, defeated Texas A&M 6-5 in that third game. The next day, the Texas A&M coach, Jim Schlossnagel, coach. that's why I do what I do. Coach jumped from Texas A&M over to Texas in a move that was kind of unprecedented and made him a fan favorite in College Station for sure. So we had that going on. Then and we'll talk about this in the upcoming segment, but Texas and Oklahoma officially in the SEC now. Oklahoma played for a national championship, last year. Against LSU, and now they're in the SEC. Texas comes in. They've won 8 or so national championships or however many. They're now in. The SEC goes from being, oh, my God, to even, oh, my God-ish, God, you know.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that, too, when we come back. And we're going to take a break right here. And when we do come back, we'll talk about the newcomers to the SEC and the road trip I made down to Texas. And we'll be right back with the Whole Hog Sports Podcast.
Stay on top of all Arkansas Razorback sports with a Digital Plus subscription on the Hogs Illustrated app. Get complete Razorbacks coverage in one location. Your subscription gives you 20-plus issues of Hogs Illustrated magazine, the most unique and compelling coverage anywhere in the state, plus total access to all the content on WholeHogSports.com, including breaking news, commentaries, analysis, features, recruiting, award-winning photos, and premium message boards. Subscriptions start at just $17 per month. Join the Hog Sports Network team at subscribe.waco.com. That's subscribe.wehco.com. Or call 479-684-5509 to get your front row seat to Arkansas Razorback sports. Go Hogs!
We are back with the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. I'm Chip Sousas, again joined by Christina Long here today, and we're talking all things Arkansas sports. We've talked about a little bit of Olympics, and we've talked a little bit about Arkansas baseball. Let's talk about the big news that happened on Monday, July 1st, when Texas and Oklahoma official now part of the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we've obviously known was coming. Everybody's kind of had time to wrap their minds around it since it was such a huge move when it happened. You know, we've had time to get used to the idea, and now it's actually happening. Now this will be the time.
So originally when the announcement came down, this was a couple of years ago, the original announcement was Texas and Oklahoma would join the SEC for the 2025 season. But they backed that up to 2024. And so it came a year earlier, and still they had plenty of time to get everything together, get their ducks in a row. And so how do you feel like that's going to impact the SEC, not just in football, which all eyes will be on that, but all the other sports?
Right. I mean, obviously, to start with football, both programs at a high level of success right now, Texas especially. I mean, possible, you know, a national championship contender. Oklahoma, we'll see, you know, kind of – on the rise, you know, they should be in the upper tier of the SEC, upper middle for sure. So, I mean, in football right away, long term, we'll see how that kind of develops, what happens to teams like Arkansas, teams of Arkansas's caliber that are kind of more toward the middle right now, how that shapes the long term of the SEC and where things are able to go from there. I mean, basketball, both kind of, they'll probably be pretty competitive. I mean, it's hard, and the SEC is in such a time of change in basketball, I would say. I mean, they've really come forward as a basketball league, I think, right, in the last few years. And so how these two fit into that will be very interesting to see. You know, baseball, obviously, we mentioned before.
Yeah.
Texas, I mean, that's going to be a huge addition. I mean, the College World Series field is already, you know, it was, what, half SEC teams this year?
Yeah.
It might be more.
It might be,
I mean,
yeah, two-thirds of it, maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you add those two teams, that's huge. Softball.
Oh, my God.
Enormous. I mean, but that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, it is going to be hard for Arkansas softball.
Yeah,
I mean,
no
it's
doubt.
Already been hard for them to break through, even though they are so good and they have had such success under Courtney Dyfel, and they've been a perennial postseason, you know, participant, but they haven't broken through to that first Women's College World Series.
Correct.
And these two teams played for the national title. I mean, they're the two best programs in the
and
country.
Oklahoma's won four straight national titles.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's going to get that. So that's one where it's going to get harder for Arkansas for sure.
Well, and you know, you take a look at the whole, you know, sports program. Texas has won three of the last four director's cups, which is, you know, given to the all around, you know, in all the sports, their point totals are added up on their success in the other sports. Three of the last 4 years, so you know they're good in every pretty much everything, or they wouldn't have won the director's cup. Oklahoma is a powerhouse in gymnastics. We talked about that a while ago, and Nadia Comaneci and I think Bart Connor, you know, are coached that program, and it's you know a national elite program. So it's just. You know, I know that, you know, it just means more, whatever, in the SEC, but the results are what matter, and the SEC has those results all the way around, and Texas OU just add to that.
Right. I mean, you talk about gymnastics. I mean, six national championships since 2014,
yeah.
2022 and 2023, back-to-back champions. Texas volleyball. I mean, Arkansas volleyball has been on the rise.
Yeah,
Texas volleyball is a powerhouse. I mean, they are a dominant program. So there's just – it's going to get a lot harder for programs like Arkansas, especially some of those programs that are, you know, that are surging, that are on the rise.
Yeah.
It's going to be harder for them to continue to rise with these programs that are coming in at a higher level already. They're starting higher.
Well, you just got to step your game up. I mean, there's no other way around it. You got to step your game up. And the one thing about it – they won't have to worry about strength of schedule affecting their postseason opportunities.
That's for sure.
They're going to have strength of schedule, you know, they're just playing in their conference games.
Right.
It's interesting, too, to see how the SEC move has impacted coaches, the coaches at Texas and at Oklahoma. I think it was either the same day or the next day after Steve Sarkisian was hired at Texas that they made the announcement. Mm-hmm. That, or it may not have been. It was close, in close proximity. That you know that they were going to go to the SEC. So you looked at that hire as like, okay, there's, you know, something coming down, and we saw that. Oklahoma just yesterday announced that Brent Venables has gotten a big contract extension, getting him in line with the other SEC coaches. So it's got a ripple effect, you know, all the way down.
Right. Both of those guys were brought in for those schools, expecting these. We need these people to give us a smooth transition into this big league, and so. You know, they've been lucky that the plan has gone as they expected. You know, with Venables for a second there, it looked a little shaky, but
it's
kind of smoothed out. It seems like things are a little bit more under control. We'll see how this season goes, but they needed both of those guys. They expected them to be the people that could, you know, handle this transition, get them some stability, get them some success, because you can't make a move like this and come in, you know, with a whimper.
You have to make
a statement when you enter.
Yeah, you got to come in with, lack of a better term, guns blazing. You
for
got,
sure.
You know, no, you know, this is no place for the weak.
Right.
So that's been big news. Also, I heard about this a little bit yesterday. You might know more about this than I do. Clemson and Florida State are now maybe looking to make a move.
Yeah, I mean, they've been trying. been trying for a long time. I mean, we'll see what happens. That grant of rights that the ACC has is tough to beat. It will take a lot of money to try to get out of that. A lot of legal effort. I mean, they want to. It's interesting. What's interesting to me is the two different tactics those schools have taken about it. And I covered Clemson last season.
Yeah, that's
season,
why
so,
I'm
right.
yeah, tossing this to you.
So, I mean, Florida State has been very, you know, they are putting it out on Front Street that they are unhappy.
We want out of the ACC.
Right.
Yeah,
this is not sustainable. We cannot do this. We want unequal revenue sharing in the conference, or we need, you know, something has to happen. Clemson has, early in the process, they kind of co-signed something that Florida State said. But since then, they've been a little bit more behind the scenes about it. They're still on that same team, but their policy is they're being a little quiet about it. They're kind of going a little bit more
working backdoor channels.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So it's interesting to see the two strategies that the two schools have to kind of achieve the same end. They both want the same thing.
And there's no question it'd be great fits in the SEC.
Sure.
There's no doubt about that.
Sure.
It would give, you know, Florida that second school there in the state with along with the University of Florida. And so they would be good fits.
Right. There's a lot of discussion about what does the SEC want if it's going to add teams. What is it looking for in those teams?
Right.
Because one of the arguments is, as you know, if it's all about TV and if it's all about TV markets, they're already in a South Carolina market,
right,
and they're already in Florida market. So
right,
what, you know, from that standpoint, what do those add? Obviously, both big fan bases, you get some eyeballs that way.
Yeah.
But as far as just straight up talking business, TV markets, you're already there. So what do you do? You know, how does that help you?
Yeah, that's
so
a good question.
But that's something for them to think about. That's something for them to consider. Do you just do it to keep them from joining other conferences and getting those conferences into your sort of territory?
Right.
Or, you know, it just depends on what the SEC wants. If it's looking to add teams, what it wants to get out of those additions.
Now, you know, we could hear something on that soon. It could be delayed. They're not going to, you know, this is not going to happen tomorrow. It's down the road. Like Christina mentioned, the grant of rights to get out of the ACC would be, I'd like to say a staggering amount of money, but then Jimbo Fisher's getting paid $75 yeah, million.
We've seen some staggering amounts, you know, and nothing feels impossible. That's the thing.
Yeah, exactly. So that's Texas, Oklahoma. Texas had their big welcoming party, I think it was Sunday night, down in Austin. And, you know, Jimmy Dykes, one of our guys, he was down there in the middle of all the burnt orange, which I'm sure he felt real comfortable about that. So he was down there, and then Oklahoma had their big party on Monday. And so they're both in, signed, sealed, and delivered, and let's tee it up and let's go for those. So this past week, as I mentioned in this first segment, I went down to Dallas into the oven that is Texas, down to Carrollton, Texas, where former Arkansas Razorback Dietrich Wise, if you remember him, he played at Arkansas from 2012 to 2016 and was a fourth-round draft pick of the New England Patriots and still with the Patriots, won a Super Bowl ring with the Patriots. He puts on a unique football camp called the Wise Big Man Camp. And, you know, most camps are 7-on-7 themed or for the little guys and the quarterbacks and the pretty people and all that. And nobody had a real camp for the big guys. And, you know, Christina, you've covered football long enough. You know, without the big dudes, the little dudes can't look so pretty.
Exactly.
So Dietrich took that opportunity about 3, 4, 5 years ago with a high school friend of his named Seth McBride. They both went to Carrollton Hebron High School, and then Dietrich went to Arkansas, and Seth went to Harding Academy. Oh, excuse me, national champion, Harding Academy. They won national championship session. Anyway, so I thought it was unique in the fact that, you know, it's all just big men, and they're down in the trenches and hitting sleds and that kind of thing. And I had a good time down there. So I don't know if you – Dietrich was, you know, before your time. I don't know if you remember him
or not. He was before my time as a reporter. He was one of my favorite players to watch as a kid.
He was a dude.
He was on some of those teams when I first kind of – when I first started watching football and actually watching the football, he was on those kind of teams. And, yeah, he was a lot of fun to watch. He was one of our favorites.
He is a guy that could get to the quarterback. And, you know, he I don't remember. I know – I seem like I remember him playing against Alabama one game and maybe had 2 or 3 sacks in that game when, you know, it wasn't looking so well everywhere else. But he was playing like that. So, anyway, a big thing for them. The thing I found, I think, the most interesting about this camp is it was completely free for all the players. They did not have to pay a nickel.
And that's not common, I don't think, for a lot of these.
No, not at all. Not at all. And so I had a chance to talk to Dietrich's dad, Dietrich Sr., who was a longtime high school football coach in Texas. And he was telling me, kind of giving me the background and everything on it, and just found it, you know, very, very interesting the way this all came about. And they were able to get some, you know, some sponsorships. I think Walmart, you know, helped them with a lot of Gatorade, which I'd like to know how many bottles of Gatorade were consumed
in that heat. Yeah, better have enough.
Yeah, that was awesome. And but anyway, he talked about, you know, how no one was really doing anything for the big guys and the big linemen. But the thing that I thought was so great was these kids. I talked to a kid who drove 9 hours from Harlingen, Texas, to get to Carrollton, Texas, just to be a part of this camp. And I think what really – and there were some other former NFL guys at the camp too, but to get that one-on-one time with Dietrich Wise for free for 5 hours on a Saturday. I mean, that's, I don't know what kind of dollar figure you could put on that, but what a great opportunity for those kids.
Yeah, that's amazing. Is it an invitation thing or is it just a sign up? That's
awesome. It's wide open. It's wide open. And anyway, it was fun, but it was fun because after the camp drills, and they had them divided offensive line, defensive line, and had, you know, these coaches over here working with the O-line guys and on the other side, the D-line guys. Of course, that's where you get the big benefit of being with Dietrich, getting to roll through his drill. But anyway, so at the end of camp, they get all of the guys to midfield, and they have, you know, no pads. You're not wearing pads or helmets. Doesn't mean they're not hitting each other, but no pads or helmets. And they had O-line guys going against the D-line guys, you know, like bull rush and which O-lineman could keep the D-line out or which defensive lineman could throw the offensive lineman out of the way and do that. But anyway, that was a lot of fun, and there was a lot of, you know, obviously testosterone just through the roof there. You know, if you beat your guy and get to the quarterback or whatever. But what was really cool is they let the parents come down there on the field.
Oh, wow.
So the parents kind of ringed the players, and, you know, the dads are out there, like, yeah. And they did well, you know, they're jumping
That's
up
awesome.
And out. But I looked out there, and, of course, the camp is open for, I think it's maybe eighth graders, might be seventh graders, all the way up to, you know, kids going to be a senior. And so anyway, in one drill, they had the little guys in there, you know, getting after it. And, of course, their dads were just, they were all over the place. So that was a lot of fun. And I talked to Dietrich. I said, you know, man, you need to bring something like that to Arkansas. I mean, that would be a great thing to have something like that here. So kind of planted that little seed in there for him. And
if he does it, we can credit you.
Exactly.
We can say this was Chip Sousa's idea.
Exactly. So I said, you know, I think I'm pretty sure, you know, Walmart, which is, you know, just a few miles down the road, would probably, you know, step up and sponsor for you or do whatever you needed. But anyway, I loved it, and it was hot. And but I didn't see any kids go down.
That's good.
Saw a few bloody noses in that.
helmets on. Something's bound to happen.
Yeah, and they had a good group of medical people there that, you know, jumped in there and got the nosebleed stopped and all that. But anyway, it was a lot of fun, and I'm going to be writing about that in the next issue of Hogs Illustrated, which will be coming out when?
Well, the one after the next.
We're finishing up this one now, right?
So speaking of, you know, we talked about Olympic stuff. That next one will be focused on, you know, Olympic athletes, Razorbacks, former Razorbacks, those who have medaled in the past, those who are going this year. The following one will be out right before the first game of the season, first football game of the season. So we're really excited to get going with football. We've already started planning some football season coverage, and it's going to be here before we know it, that's for sure.
I had to curb my enthusiasm. I've never been this far ahead of the game on a story. So.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, and also, if you haven't gotten a copy of it yet, you can still get copies of the fantastic football preview that Christina headed up and put out. It's the best football preview we've ever done, you know, by far. It's got all the content in there that you would want about the upcoming Razorback season. Where can people get that?
Yeah, I mean, you can go to shop.nwaonline.com, shop.nwaonline.com to order a single issue. You can also subscribe. There's information on how to do that at wholehogsports.com if you want to get our future issues. But the football preview issue is really cool. It's a double-sized issue. It's 80 pages as opposed to our usual 40. It's got some feature stories in there. It's got breakdowns of every position on the team. It's got previews of every opponent on the schedule, you know, so it's a really thorough preview that I'm really proud of it.
Well, you should
be. It's something I'm going to refer back to during the season to kind of remember, you know, where things started.
Yes.
And, you know, some things will change in fall, but I think post spring and there's a lot of newcomers coming in that haven't been here yet that were added over the summer. You know, we covered all of that in that issue.
Yep.
So really will help you kind of get up to speed before fall camp starts and before the season begins.
It's funny because I've been here, you know, for so long in this area that, you know, everybody, you know, knows what I do. And so if I go somewhere, they'll say, you know, well, how do you think the quarterback or whatever? And I'm like, did you get the preview? Did you get the preview?
Yep.
It's in the preview. Did you get the preview?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We talked all about it in the preview.
That's right. That's right. So if you haven't gotten that, again, shop.nwaonline.com.
Mm-hmm.
Go there and get a copy of it, and you will not want to miss it. If you want to know anything about anything to do with the football program and what's players coming in, transfer portal guys that have been signed, who's going to be major contributors to whatever part of the team, offense, defense, special teams, whatever it is, We got it in that preview. Christina, thanks for being on with me today. Always bringing it every time. And we are going to take a break right here. When we come back, we will have our WholeHogSports.com podcast question of the day. We'll be right back.
Get the latest breaking news on all Arkansas Razorback sports at WholeHogSports.com. Our award-winning reporters and photographers go beyond game recaps to bring our subscribers the most trusted Razorbacks news anywhere. With expert analysis, the latest in recruiting, plus unique and compelling stories of your favorite teams. Subscribe today at WholeHogSports.com.
We are back with the third segment of the Whole Hog Sports podcast. I'm Chip Souza, and we are going to talk about our question of the day. We always like to do this, the final segment of the podcast, and this is where we ask our WholeHogSports.com message board warriors a question, and we get their response, and we read their responses on the podcast. Not all of them, but some of them, selected ones. And Blake, my guy back there, the producer, I'll get your input on some of this too. But the question of the day was, what is your Mount Rushmore of Arkansas football? Okay, I need four. Now, you can only have four on Mount Rushmore because, you know, you have to make the carving so big, you can only get four in there. And, of course, a lot of them are, of the responses we got, were, you know, fairly, we knew what some, you know, most of them were going to be. Like, number one on pretty much everybody's list, Frank Broyles, you know, the longtime football coach, longtime athletic director, coach of the 1964 national champion. That goes without saying. Darren McFadden, the guy who should have won the Heisman Trophy, he's on there. Of course, you know, he was a terrific player here, led the Razorbacks to some of their best, you know, best seasons ever. He would be on there. So Razormac says, Frank Broyles, of course. Darren McFadden, of course. And then he finishes out his four with Ken Hatfield and Steve Atwater. Now, Steve Atwater, of course, what a tremendous safety he was for Arkansas and in the NFL. So that is a good Mount Rushmore there. The Wizard of Hogs, again, Blake, I've told you numerous times, I love this guy's handle on our message board. He comes in kind of the same. You know, D-Mac and Frank Broyles, they're going to be, you know, pretty much everybody's going to say those two. And he does. D-Mac, Frank Broyles, he comes back with Clyde Scott, of course, a terrific Razorback from way back in the day. Clyde Smackover Scott and Brandon Burlesworth. That would always be a great selection. He breaks it down by saying D-Mac, of course, needs no explanation. Clyde Scott was from a different era, and to look at his stats now, to see how valuable he was as a two-way player, this was before, you know, this is when they couldn't make substitutions. He put us on the map. He was on newsreels right along with Doak Walker, won the silver medal in the Olympics. Just a tremendous player at Arkansas. Burlesworth may or may not have been our best offensive lineman ever, but if he wasn't, he wasn't far from the best. And Blake, that reminds me, one time, Bum Phillips, when he was coaching the Houston Oilers and talking about Earl Campbell, said, Earl may not be in a class by himself, but it don't take long to call roll.
That's funny.
Brandon, of course, his backstory makes him such a compelling ambassador for the Razorbacks. He was a walk-on, such a tremendous story there. And, of course, the tragically was killed in a car wreck not long after being drafted by the Indianapolis Colts. After going from walk-on to All-American to Arkansas, that he would be absolutely would deserve a spot in that Mount Rushmore for sure. Moving on, we've got Broyles. Again, but here's three different ones. This is from Scientific Rocket. This says Broyles, Wilson Matthews, Thumper, and Lloyd Phillips. That would also be a great Mount Rushmore. So, Blake, if you had the hammer and chisel and you went up on the mountain, what four faces would you chisel into the Razorback Mount Rushmore?
My first thought was just do D-Mac four times.
That, you know what? That would be great. That would be great, too.
But, when I first started watching football, Madre Hill was my favorite player.
Heck of a player. Malvern, yes.
Yeah, I don't know if he necessarily belonged on the Mount Rushmore because he didn't have that many, you know, accolades or whatever. But still, he was my favorite player when I first started watching football when I was, like, you know, 11 years old. As far as a coach would go, I would think you could put Bobby Petrino up there because, you know, he kind of breathed new life into the program. Obviously, we all know what happened at the end of his tenure as head coach, but
right. But we're talking about strictly on-field production.
I mean, he brought a lot more fans into the program with his brand of offense that was just so exciting. We had kind of been in the doldrums a little bit with Nutt for 10 years and that never really got over the hump. And then Petrino comes in and did that. You know, he didn't win the West like Nutt did, but he – I feel like he put Arkansas on more of a national stage than Nutt did.
Right. Now, Blake, I don't know if you and I have talked about this, but I've talked about it with other people. A guy that played for Arkansas that doesn't get a lot of notoriety, I don't think, and I don't think he gets like near as much as he deserves, is Jason Peters. This is a guy that came to Arkansas from East Texas, came here, was a tight end because he was a tremendous athlete. He was a tight end here, and he was had a pretty good career here, so probably maybe not Mount Rushmore worthy if you based his career just on what he did here. But this guy went to the NFL, played 20 seasons. He is going to be a Hall of Famer. There's no question about that. And he's one of those kind of dudes that, like, his pro career so far superseded his college career. It's almost like he's a completely different dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got. I think you got to put him up there too.
I do too. I like him. What about maybe a Barry Switzer who played at Arkansas but was a far superior coach? You know, of course, than he was a player. Won multiple national championships. Oklahoma won a Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys. Same thing with Jimmy Johnson. Played at Arkansas. Won national championships at Miami. Won two Super Bowls with the Dallas Cowboys.
I think you could put them up there. I mean. You could have just a, I don't know.
It's hard to just pick four, though.
A Mount Rushmore of the 1964 national championship team or something.
But, yeah. I think you could have just a separate coaching Mount Rushmore and players Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe coaches on the front of Mount Rushmore and then players on the back.
Exactly. What about a guy named Billy Ray Smith who was just such a terror on the defensive line for the Razorbacks, you know, and just a heck of a player, you know, and also had a tremendous NFL career with the San Diego Superchargers.
I'm going to be honest, I don't know who you're talking about.
Billy Ray Smith?
You got to
Google him. You got to look him up.
Okay.
You have to Google him. He was a heck of a player at Arkansas, and again, a tremendous NFL player for the San Diego Chargers. So always fun to talk about that and who was the best of this and the GOAT, and that's a word that's tossed around a lot. Any program that's got the tremendous rich history that the Arkansas Razorbacks do, there's always a good, lively, and spirited conversation about who the best players at that, here would be, and just always good for when it gets, the slow time of summer when there's not much going on, be like, hey, who was your favorite guy and who was this or whatever. It's always fun to go back and reminisce. So that will wrap up this edition of the Whole Hog Sports Podcast for this July 2nd. Like Christina mentioned earlier, I cannot believe it's July, except when you step outside the front door, there's no question that it's July with this heat that we've been having. So that takes care of this episode of the podcast. We'll be back next week, and who knows what we'll talk about. We may have more Arkansas baseball portal signings. We may have some more from softball. We don't know. The summertime always brings surprises. So thanks for being with us. I'm Chip Souza with the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. We'll catch you next time. Go Hawks!